So there is a slide of a group of pictures, and that's helping us to recap what we have gone through. All right? So get ready for the questions. The first one is, does anyone remember where is Jesus and his disciple now? Of course, they're in heaven, but I mean, in John chapter 13, where are they now? And what are they doing? Yeah, George?
Oh, they're in the upper room.
Yeah, they're up the room. What are they doing there? Yeah, they are having a meal and a Passover supper over there. Good. And what did Jesus do before the meal? Yes, he washed every people's feet. Yes, he did wash his hands, but he washed other people's feet to show that, or to teach his disciple that they need to love one another. And he set an example for them. After that, what did Jesus predict? Yeah, good. Thank you, Yanni. There is someone who is going to betray him. He predicted there will be someone betray him. Does anyone remember who is that person? Judas is Judas. So that's the story we come up, okay? All along from chapter 13. And now, let's move on to see what happened next. And Ben will come up to help us to read John chapter 13, verse 31 to 35.
When he was gone, Jesus said, "Now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God is glorified in him, God will glorify the Son in himself, and will glorify him at once. My children, I will be with you only a little longer. You will look for me. And just as I told the Jews, so I tell you now, where I am going, you cannot come. A new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you. So you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another."
Let's go into the passage from verse 31 to 35. Can anyone have a quick spot and see which word that appear most? Love? How many times did love appear? 3 times or 4 times? But there is another word that appear more than that. Yes.
I?
Yes. Okay. I missed that one. But 1, 2, 3, maybe it's I, but there is another one. Yes. Glorify. Yes. Thank you, Rachel. Okay. So glorify. This verse has appeared most in the first, few verses. But wait a minute. What is the meaning of glorified? Or what does glorify mean to you? Keep an honor?
Honoring
something, yes, okay. And it could be winning, all right? It could be like a victory, okay? That is the meaning of glory. And what has been a glorious moment in your life? It's a very tricky question. Yeah, George?
Obviously, marrying my wife.
Oh, yeah, praise God.
Besides that, winning Henry
Banks this year. Okay, thank you. All right, so actually, glorious moment, it could be like scoring a victory goal. It could be like getting a very good job, or it could be like getting a very good academic result. That could be the meaning of glory or glorified. But what did Jesus said, or what is the true meaning of glorified or glory when Jesus talked about it? What does he referring to? His death, thank you, May, is pointing to his death. It's totally like different concept of glorious meaning in our secular world. In our secular world, it means winning, victory. But to Jesus, his glorious moment is to die on the cross. Someone would say, it looks so weak, he died. But Jesus said, that is his glorious moment. So, but Alex, how does Jesus die on the cross? It's the glorious moment in his life. How does the cross glorify God?
Victory over sin.
Victory over sin, yes. And
defeated
Satan, yes. And yes, all these are correct, but I come up with one big answer, and that is His love. His love. His love to the people, to sinners, that Jesus is willing to die on the cross for our sins, even when we are still sinners. He loves us so that through the cross, it defeats the power of sin. It defeats Satan. And in the cross, on the cross, it shows Jesus' love and God's love to us. And let's take a look at what's coming up next. What command did Jesus give to his disciple? Love one another. Okay? Love one another. And this is also a command for Christians today, to all of us who are sitting here, those who believe in Jesus Christ. Jesus asks us to love one another. But what could we do to show our love? What are the things that we could do to show our love to one another? Wash the face or wash the feet? Okay, wash the people's feet. Yeah, forgive. Okay, to forgive others. Yeah, it could also be like serving coffee or tea. All right, it could be anything that we can serve through churches. There is a danger for us that we think that we have to do this, and we need to be aware of our motivations. Let's take a look at the next verse here. I give you a new command, love one another, but what he said next is, as I have loved you, so you must love one another. So when we are serving in church, when we are loving one another, the initiative or the motivations is not coming from ourselves. It should be coming from God. It should be coming from Jesus. It is because He loved us so that we can love one another. And this is what 1 John chapter 4, 19 said. We love because Jesus first loved us. So let that be our motivations. It is not our selfish purpose. It is not our own purpose that we love one another. It is because Jesus loved us. He has died on the cross so that we can love one another. And what would be the effect if they love one another? The next slide, it tells us that by this, all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. So what makes us to become a Christian? Obviously, it is by our faith in Jesus Christ. But how do other people, how do non-Christians know that we are Christians? We are followers of Jesus. In this verse, it told us that not by raising your hand in the street and say, I'm a Christian, not by telling people, yeah, I help you because I'm Christian, or not just put a label on yourself to say that you are Christian. Jesus said, love one another. By our love showing to one another, people will know that we are his followers. Jesus told his disciple in John 13, verse 34 and 35, a new command I give you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciple if you love one another. Those words remind us that God's love isn't something we talk about. Is something we live out. Even when it is hard to love, or when life feels confusing or uncertain, God is always working. He's making a way for us to love, to forgive, and to keep moving forward in His light. And our next songs remind us exactly what is that? And that our God is the one who makes a way when there seems to be no way. He's our miracle worker, our promise keeper, and the light in every dark place.
Simon Peter asked him, Lord, where are you going? Jesus replied, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. Peter asked, Lord, why can't I follow you now? I will lay down my life for you. Then Jesus answered, Will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth, before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you will also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. This is the word of the Lord.
So after Jesus gave his new command to a disciple, and in verse 36, and Peter asked, in verse 36 it says, where I am going, you cannot follow now, but you will follow later. So where is Jesus going? Yeah, to the cross. And that's the reason why he say, where I'm going, Peter, you cannot follow me now. But do you think Peter understand the meaning behind it? Do you understand Peter know the meaning of it? No. All right? Peter even asked, why can't I follow you now? I can lay down my life for you. Which means Peter is telling Jesus that don't look down me. I can go everywhere with you, even if risk my life. I'm not afraid of death, and I'm willing to follow you all the way. That is like what Peter telling Jesus. And Peter's reactions show his willingness to lay down his life for Jesus, and he think or he believe he can't. But let's take a look at what Jesus said next. Jesus had predicted Peter, he can't do it. Jesus said in verse 38, will you really lay down your life for me? I tell you the truth. Before the cock crows, you will disown me 3 times. And if you read on, we will see that, or we will know that Peter did disown Jesus for 3 times. Peter's heart is set correctly upon Jesus. And it is good for us today if we set our heart upon Jesus. Put Jesus in the first place in our lives. But Peter, or the problem of Peter, is he overestimates of what he can do for Jesus. He thinks by his own ability, he can do it. Do we also have the same thought? Do we think that we can stand firm in faith of Jesus because I can do it? Because I believe I can overcome all the difficulties and challenges? Let us beware not to put our strength on ourselves. It is God who chose me, or chose us, or chose you. It is God who opened our hearts and minds so that we can follow him and trust him. Therefore, put our strength in Jesus instead of on ourselves. Now, let's pause for a while and imagine if you are one of the disciples who are sitting in the room with Jesus having a meal. What's happening? Now you entered Jerusalem with Jesus, you got upstairs having a meal, and you see a lot of strange things happening. You see Jesus wash your feet, and you see Jesus predict there will be someone betrayed him. And even when Jesus said, where I'm going, you cannot come. And one of your colleagues, disciples, tell Jesus, no, I was willing to die for you. But Jesus rebuked him and say that, no, you won't. You won't lay down your life for me, and even you will disown me for 3 times. How would you feel if you are one of the disciples sitting there? Obviously, you won't feel happy. You won't feel victory or glorious, right? You will feel a little bit sad, frustrated, or you may puzzle. What's going on? What's happening, Jesus? Why are you saying all this to me? But let's move forward and see what's happened. But Jesus knows his people. He knows that the disciples are in trouble because of what they have just experienced. And therefore, Jesus provides a solution for them. Let's take a look in chapter 14, verse 1. Jesus said, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me." That is to believe in him, to believe more, and to have faith more in God and him. And Jesus carry on, if you take a look in verse 2 to 3, Jesus carry on to comfort them by reassure them that they will have a future, a bright future, a future home. And that is heaven. And that is the place where Christians will live with their Creator, the Almighty God. Jesus is the one who go and prepare a place for you and me in heaven. Unless he died on the cross, our sins will not be forgiven and we cannot live with our Creator. Therefore, he's leaving, he's dying on the cross, he's leaving with the disciple is for their good. He's helping them because he's securing our salvation and eternal life. So it is like when your dad, okay, to say, "Oh, I will bring you to a theme park," okay, that you are long to go, you really want to go to that theme park, and he asked you to stay at one place and to wait for him, and your dad will go and to get a ticket for you. At that moment, you may feel a little bit worried or insecure because you cannot see your dad or mom. You cannot see him physically, but his leaving is for your good. His leaving, I mean, he's leaving for a while, is helping you, or it is not without a purpose. He's buying a ticket for you. He's securing a place for you in the theme park. So that at the time when he comes back, he will get a ticket for you and you can go into the theme park and enjoy the moment with your dad or mom in the theme park. And it is a similar case for Jesus. His death on the cross and his resurrections and his ascensions to the heaven, he's just leaving us temporarily. His leaving is in order to secure a place for us in heaven, so that on the day when he comes back, which is his second coming, he will bring all Christians with him to heaven. And Jesus make it plain to his disciples, so to encourage them to trust in him and don't lose hope, even they can't see and experience what would happen. Today, we are fortunate, we are more fortunate than those disciples, because we already know Jesus has died for our sin. He did raise from the dead, and he did ascend into heaven. We knew that Jesus said are true, although our hearts sometimes may be in trouble because of the things of earth, for example, our physical illness or a relationship with our family, our jobs, social problems, and even wars in the world. But Jesus encourages us not to let our hearts be troubled. Stand firm in our faith in him and God, and look forward to living with him in heaven. Let us stand firm in our faith in Jesus, not relying on our own ability, but fully relied on God. Let's pray. Dear God, thank you that you are always with us. When we feel worried, help us to trust you. Thank you for preparing a place for us in heaven. Please fill our hearts with your peace and love. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. In the passage that we have just gone through today, we heard Jesus reminding his disciples not to be afraid, even though he was going away to prepare a place for them. He promised that they would be with him again. And that's such a good news. Jesus is our rescuer. He came to bring us hope, to lead us to the Father, and to show us the way to life that never ends. Our next song is all about that good news. It celebrates the freedom and joy we have because Jesus has saved us. And there's no one too lost, too broken, or too far away. Jesus welcomes everyone with open arms. Let's stand and sing.